about 10 commandments. So we got to honor your father and your mother. And I told everybody, bring out your phone. You got mom, you got dad. So they started sending. I said, send to your mom right now in the service. They were shocked. I said, bring out. So they started sending texts to their mom, dad, uncle, and auntie that brought them up. And while we were doing that, and I remember my wife preached like this one time. I'm an introvert by nature. So I, just by myself. When my mother-in-law was alive, I would have left house. Then I remember that I didn't greet her. So I'll go back. And that day she was preaching. And then I just said, I need to call my mother more. So I opened my phone, put on it, this is what called schedule. Every Monday, 9:48 a.m., call mama. So I'll do that. And so last Sunday, I was in the service. And my mother is staying with my brother, Reverend David Amoson, in Lagos. And I'm just confessing to you what happened to me. So I stopped. I just knew I have not sent her money in that sense. I'd send money, but I've not been sending the way I should send it. So I got convicted in the service. I stopped. I got home, and I opened my phone, and I called her. In fact, she didn't have money. My mother is still about 90 something. She still goes to market and selling things. She can't stop. She uses it for evangelism, according to her. So I sent her the money. I'll tell you the story. I think the money was reversed or something. I'm not sure. I don't know what happened to GTB. So I sent it again. So my mom told me, that's double. Maybe it was not that one that was, because a lot of money was being reversed. So I said to myself, I can't call her back to ask for the reversed money. Let her even have the double. Come on, let's clap our hands for Jesus. Let her even have the double. Praise God. So let's learn to do that. I will have asked you, because if you are younger, to open your phone and say text to mommy. But you are not third service. You are older. I'm trusting your judgment that you do that. Praise God. I was asking for a young man when you were talking. Tosin is always in media during the week. And he says, no, around. Nobody will be around the media, but he'll be here. And when the service is over, he will go fold up everything, pack everything. Is Tosin around? He's not around. I want to thank him publicly for doing that every time. Nobody else will be around. He'll be the one except divine, and they do that. Who else can I thank? Paul was thanking people in the church. He was thanking that. And if you grew up in the Southwest, some of us did, we learn how to, if you don't thank, Iko, you don't call Iko. They do that to us. But normally, it's the Spirit of God that inspired people to be thankful. Praise God. Before we go further, I have to do something that... how did I say this? I wish she had told us. You know, my wife came to the office after we finished first service and said, look, yeah, we have somebody in the house. And all of us will know. Let me start like this. Pastor Akin Osibaju is in the service. Please, sir. Please, sir. Please, sir. Please, sir. You can stand up, sir. Some of you don't know. Please keep standing, sir. I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for doing this. Forgive me, sir. This is the brother of the vice president, former AG in Ogun State. Thank you, sir. It's a pastor in the Fountain of Life Church. And I didn't know she's your wife. She played that fast one on us. Please stand up, man. Please stand up, man. You did it to us. Sorry for keeping you standing. Forgive me, sir. Forgive me, man. When she came in here, she so much listened to the word of God, and I was very careful to not ask too much. The day you said your name, I didn't hear even your full name, but I didn't want to press in. Then today, my wife said, she brought her husband to church. I said, who? Said, wow, forgive us. We'll find out next time, Father. Thank you so much, sir. You can sit down. In fact, I wanted to make you come and sit down as a pastor, yeah, but he said, you don't want to. You're welcome, sir. Praise the Lord. Now, if you notice, there are some youngin beside you, the teenagers. We ask them to stop their teens church and just come stay with us. One service like that. So if you have, can I see the hand of teenagers around? Teenagers, yeah, they are all over the service, sitting beside mommy and daddy. and just to fellowship with us and rejoice with us. They have their services, but just to feel what we feel. So they have to read this morning. They do different things in their service. So I was told that they're going to read Proverbs for us. Esther or Alan, who's reading the Proverbs? Okay, great. Let's clap for her as it comes. Okay. All right. Okay, so let's... You're reading from the Bible. Okay. Are you, which version are you using? 21 Proverbs. Which is this? Let me see. Is this? Hold on. I want to check the Bible so we can get it for them. Okay, it's NKJV. Fantastic. You read it from the screen. We can still read. Okay, give us Proverbs 21. So this is what they do upstairs. They want to Kurawa. Read some Bible reading. Okay, all right. Thank you.
Good morning, church. Okay, we're reading from Proverbs chapter 21. I'll read one verse, we take the other verse. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, like the rivers of water. It turns in wherever he wishes. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. The violence of the wicked will destroy them because they refuse to do justice. Better to dwell in the corner of a house top than in the house shared with a contentious woman. When this coffer is punished, the simple is made wise, but when the wise is instructed, he receives knowledge. Whoever shut his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. It is a joy for the just to do justice, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. He who loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. Better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. He who follows righteousness and mercy finds life, righteousness, and honor. Whoever guides his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. The desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. How much more when he brings it with the wicked intent? A wicked man hardens his face, but as for the upright, he establishes his way. Let's take the last verse together. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but deliverance is of the Lord.
Thank you very much. Thank you. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. Praise the Lord. So good. Let me try again next Sunday. We have some reading. What are we reading today? Maybe we'll do that later. What? Are we reading Ziglag or something? Huh? Principles. Okay, all right. Should we do that? My. Okay. If you still have some time to do, okay, let's just do what I... we'll come back and do reading. Pray for the sake, if possible. Praise God. All right. I want to do a sequel to last week. If we have time, we'll do that. I want to do a sequel to last week. Remember SMS last week? How many remember SMS? Supernatural money supply. Remember that? That I picked the story of Jesus, that they want him to pay tax and the... Thank you. Can you help us take that sheet to the side of the kiddies church? Thank you. All right. Thank you. Okay. Don't relax. I said that last week. And after I got home, I wanted to do other things. The Lord said, can you give it the other balance? Okay. You see, people like to pray for money. I told you about praying for money. But praying for money is not the normal thing in the Bible. Are you hearing me? If you are honest here, let's be honest, let's do show of hands. How many of you, sometimes you pray for money, you get it, sometimes you don't get it. Can I see your hands up? If that's your experience, you pray for money, sometimes it comes, sometimes it doesn't come. So, I was wondering why that will happen. So, one day, I just told myself, okay, I pray for money, God will meet my needs. But it dawned on me that, what did they do in the Bible? That is common. Jesus told Peter, go to the sea, drop the hook, find goldfish. But that was not happening to him every day. For instance, let me give another one. For instance, years ago, I was going to go and preach in Lagos, and my topic was walking the supernatural. Those days, remember, federal mass assisted something, you know, federal assisted something. We used to take it at Itaoshin. So I'd prepare my message about Jesus walking on the water. I'd prepare my message, Jesus walking on the water. And I got to Taoshin. I'm about to enter the federal master. I sat down and I heard this voice saying to me, did Jesus walk on the water every day? I said, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to take that. Because, you see, I want to go and preach about Jesus walked on the water and he moved on the water. And then to tell me that Jesus, I casted that thing aside. I preached my message, came back. That voice came back. Did Jesus walk on the water every day? No, he didn't walk on the water every day. He actually had a boat and he had good legs. Move around with. Then it dawned on me that, listen to this. God is a great God. But we have two legs. And I saw this years ago when I read that thing. He said, there is the supernatural, there is the natural. See, God works in natural ways in our life. It is supernatural. And God also works supernatural. But listen to this. If I take this step forward and I stop, I can't take it further. This next one will come. So somebody told us, and I didn't forget it years ago, that if you focus on the supernatural alone, you will blow up fanatic. If you focus on the natural alone, you will dry up. See that? Too logical, too reasonable. You dry up. But if you are too supernatural, you will blow up. You know, dynamite. You know them now. They are too supernatural, they blow up. But then, if you combine supernatural plus natural, you will grow up. I like that. I didn't forget it. So, it dawned on me that, yes, I can pray for money. But what is the normal way God wants to help us to have money? Then I saw this verse, chapter 8, Deuteronomy, verse 18. And I'm going to break it down for us as people so that we won't just start thinking of something beyond measure that we cannot handle. I did this teaching years ago before you came. You are JJC now, so I better repeat it again. All right, profs will remember this teaching. All right, let's go to chapter 8, verse 18, Proverbs. Sorry, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get what? To get wealth. That he may establish his covenant which he swore to your father as it is this day. Notice something in that verse. It didn't say God will give you wealth. He said he will give you power to get wealth. NIV makes it sound better. Give us NIV. NIV says it this way, which is beautiful. Can you give us NIV? But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who give you the ability to produce wealth. When I read that verse, I talked to myself and I asked myself, what is wealth? Now, I know today, these youngins, Gen X, or what do you call you, to you, wealth is dollars. Wealth is amassing a lot of money, but that's not true. You see, money is just a medium of exchange. So I was looking for the meaning of wealth. What is wealth that I need to produce? Please, are we here? So that God can, for instance, I saw this picture. Listen to this. I saw this picture. I saw Abraham when his wife died. Are we here? Bible said that his wife died. And he wanted to bury his wife in a place. And it was a nice place he saw. But it belonged to those who are the owner of the land. So he went to the city council to meet the elders. And he said, I want to bury my wife in this particular area. He said, Abraham, you're a mighty prince among us. Just take anywhere you want. I'll be very glad, free of charge. But Abraham said, please let me pay. Huh? And he said, he counted 400 pieces of silver at the current rate to the owner of the land and was given. Let me tell you the way I read my Bible. I read that and I didn't think like this. Abraham, when his wife died, took Isaac, the only child, and said, let us join our hands together. We need resources for your mommy's burial. Let's claim in the name of Jesus 500 pieces of silver. He just went inside, counted the money, and paid. Don't you like that, anybody? Anybody here? Don't you like that? So I started asking myself, what is wealth? And then somebody taught me something that really helped me. And because I don't want to just wear, because $6 billion rich. I'm not like that. You know, and if you're not careful, you start getting frustrated. So I broke down the word wealth. And then the person taught me what wealth is, and I want to share it with you. So he took that letter, W-E-E-A-L-T-H, and he showed me very clearly in my own little way how to, because when we say wealth, I don't mean Billy Gates type. They are few in number. So how do I get wealth? And what is wealth? And what will God enable me to do? So let's start. Letter W. You see that word? That's wealth. Around. See that? That first word is welfare. The greatest form of wealth is welfare. What is welfare? You know, fare. We say transport fare. So what is welfare? The fare you pay for being well. You know what I just said? You see, people think of wealth as something, something big, and you have all the whole world. No, wealth is simply to start with welfare. You can feed, you can clothe your family, you can drink, you can, I don't mean beer, no? You can have something to live by. And when you wake up every day, food is guaranteed. It's important. And so we don't count health as wealth, but it's wealth. Ask that woman of the issue of blood. Remember that woman of the issue of blood? When she got sick, Bible says she spent all that she had. It drained her money. Drained her purse. So welfare is force. I remember reading years ago about, how many of you have heard of Rich Dad, Poor Dad? How many of you have heard of the book? And the man was thinking of getting rich, talking to the rich dad, and was saying, I want to do investment. And Rich Dad said, go back home and provide for your family. Are you hearing me? Start from there. See, many of us are doing what I call B and Y pools. You know, B and Y pools when I was growing up, it's called Niger Bet now. When I was growing up, it's B and Y pools. You always tabulating, calculating how somebody will do the draw. They call it draws. And that these people who are always buying pools and never feed their family. Are you hearing me? There's no use having 400 million shares and you are dying of starvation and your children can't get decent food, can live. So number one is welfare. Are you hearing me? Take care. Now, please, don't climb too quickly. Don't want to jump and just start with welfare. Are you well fed? Ask your neighbor, are you well fed? Are you well clothed? Make that sure. You know, Paul said that godliness is profitable if we have. Let's go and read that 1 Timothy 6. Let's read it. Come and see. That's the first point of wealth that everybody here should think about. The power to get wealth. Give you good health. Have some food. Let's go. Let's find 1 Timothy 6. Okay, let's find it. I know you are not opening. You are just waiting for the screen. Me, I'm the one to open it. Okay, let's look at verse 6. Okay. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. Next verse. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out with us. Okay? Next verse. And having food and what? Clothing. With this, we shall be content. You know, I noticed even those richest guys, they have this contentment. I was told that Warren Buffett, one of the richest men, is staying in the same house since 50s. Of course, when you enter inside, it's different. But outside, it's still the same thing. In fact, one young man was a billionaire in Kenya. And Billy Gates came to Kenya, and he was thinking, how will he meet Billy Gates? So he got the longest car, drove up to the place, and parked it. And they were having a meeting with Billy Gates. And when they came out, Billy Gates just asked for that smaller car. The guy was shocked. You know, we Africans love to show it, that we have it. I have seen people, I heard, that they be driving big car around and they can't feed. They even borrow money to buy fuel. Huh? One guy was pretending that he had AC in his car. So he rolled up. There was no AC in the car. Just roll up. NLT. Okay, NLT. Give us NLT of this verse, right? Verse 6. Okay, what does NLT say, verse 6? Yet true godliness with contentment, what? He said, great wealth. So that's number one. Let's go back to our hexagon again. The second one is letter E. Do you know that education is a form of wealth? If you are educated and you really properly get educated, there are a lot of things that will accrue to your life. For instance, you can't jackpa well without a good education. If you jackpa, you know where you're going to be? Okoreke. To be honest with you. You know, all these boys that are going abroad now, that are traveling, that are, if you're a doctor, there's a lot of education there. And if you're a doctor, they'll take you in. They are blocking abroad to people who are not well educated that will become a liability to their system. So if you are educated, it's a matter of time. Now, of course, you say, it doesn't matter anymore now. PhDs are only driving taxis. It's because of what has come. It will see change. So get education. And when I say education, I don't only mean getting master's degree and PhD, my professor here. But I'm talking about getting educated in the things of life. You can lie. Today we have a vast university worldwide, YouTube. You can learn things from there. You can learn how to babysit. Even from this place, they don't teach us things like that anymore. A lot of things you can learn today by, let me not talk about this, but let me just mention. Somebody came to see me during the week. I was telling me about her daughter that did master's degree and she just finished NYC kind of a thing. Master's degree, and she did that course in something that is not related. So the fiancé said to her, do some courses online. You sit down, listen to it. And she did the course and did the course and did the course and did the course. And after a while, the fiancé said, apply for a job. So she sent out about 100 vacancies online. And one finally responded. And then she did the interview and she didn't make it. Then the person who's educated more told her, tell them that you are going to volunteer. Like, I'm not asking you to, anyway, she don't have anything to do. So let me just volunteer. So the woman said, the person that was interviewed said, she want to volunteer. Okay, you know what? I won't do that. I'll pay you as you come along. Whatever you do, I'll pay you as you come along. So she reported the week after, the woman said, look, we'll pay you, put your salary. Then she told me, she said, Arota, it's in the house now. Got this giant screen. They paid for it. A chair, rocking chair. And she's working from home. May I go to work? And I'm hearing Naira. She's getting in dollars. She says, you want to go online high tech. I said, Mama, Elijah Kusile, I'm my fiancé now. Fiancé. You know, she got master's degree, but she learned some more. So education will help you. Education is a form of wealth. So wealth is what? Education. You may not even use it now. Now, I will warn you, that's also what they call life education. That's what Joseph had. He didn't go to any school. He didn't go to Harvard. But he went to life Harvard. What did he do? In his father's house, he learned honesty to come back and give reports to manage his brother. And one day he was thrown out, and he got to Potiphar's house. He started learning how to handle abundance. And he became a PA, rising up, rising up, rising up. He never cared about next level. He just gave himself to that where he is. He was wealthy there, to the point that the blessing of God was upon everything he did. And the man abandoned everything to his hand. And one day, he got promoted to prison. That's real promotion. But you know what? He learned abundance in the house of Potiphar, life education. He got to the prison. They had to manage, handle things. He had to, you know, he had to take care of these people that are sad, frustrated, and depressed. Like this one, they had a dream. He had to give them the middle of their dream. But you know what? A couple of years later, Pharaoh just called and said, I have a dream. And the dream was 5-7 years of abundance, 7 years of plenty. Guess what? He learned how to handle abundance in Potiphar's house. He learned how to handle lack. So wherever you are, learn there. Are you hearing me? You just come out of school. They give you this job and you start complaining. Stop doing that. It's part of your promotion. She was talking about one of her daughters. When she got to that workplace, she said, Daddy, I said, relax. You have to learn how to work as a Christian. It's an asset. If you think your job is bad, somebody's praying, fasting day and night for that kind of your job. You hear me? So please, education is a form of life education, school education. I'm still getting educated. I got books to read. I don't have time. I have books to read. Some of those books, if I open them for you, you read the whole page, you won't get anything there. Even myself too. But I keep reading it. Are you hearing me? I keep learning. So education is a form of wealth. That this one, letter A, I was not taught this one quite early in my life, and I suffered. See that word? Asset. Right in your children's bedroom. Asset. I was not taught. I was taught just get money and spend it. If I'm giving money to take first class ticket or economy, I look at myself and I'll say, asset. You know what? If I don't have a roof on my head and someone give me 25 million those days to take first class. See, if I take first class, enter into it, I have 6 hours to UK. Right? And that's the end of the experience. I will take selfie. My memory left is selfie. But if I take that money and say, how much is economy? 1.5. And I remove that 25 million and I pay 1.5 and I go to my area, buy a piece of land, put something on it, I will still be in first class for the next how many years of my life. I didn't know about that. I was thought, oh, just enjoy life. Just do it. Just enjoy. Just go on. So asset is important. Asset is what you buy. Like education is an asset. You know, somebody was telling us, you were laughing. He said, some thieves came to my house. He said, they are very poor thieves. I said, what? He said they are very poor thieves. He said, what? He said, they picked the TV and didn't go to my library. You know what I just said? He said, the thieves went to pick the TV. It's not an asset. What is it? A liability. They are taking a loan for. And by next 2 weeks or next 3 months, another TV has come out again. So you invest in what? Pastor, what's an asset? Okay, come to my school. MBA, I pay you. And I said, what is producing more and more after you get it? What's a liability? Okay, let me explain. If you buy a generator in this season, simple, and I use it to cool down myself at home, it's a liability. I am paying more. I'm paying. But if I use that to do water block, ice blocks, that freezer and that generator, they're bringing money back for me. Pastor, I don't have to do that. You know why today You have to look for regular, continuous money supply because everything is increasing price all the time. So even the money you think you have now, it must keep on increasing. So you are, last time school fees, not the same thing as this one. So if you don't know how to increase the capacity, so asset, you must be thinking asset. Is this asset or not? Is this asset or not? Is it asset or not? Hallelujah. And in your younger days, invest in assets. Huh? How many of you, your dad got houses? Prof, put up your hands. Prof, put up your hands. How many of you, your father has houses? His father had houses. How did he get the houses? Instead of enjoying, they will eat bure. Mommy and daddy, they will eat bure. Daddy was a retired person. I think NYPOST, right? And he would take money and put in the housing, and put in the housing. When I started living around their area, daddy was living fine in his old age. Because he had asset. He put something on the ground. You can see. Don't think of right now. Are you hearing me? See, you are just doing well. You have a nice car. You are driving around. You now go out with your friends. And they came with this denku vehicle. And then your head start doing chi, chi. Like Stereo said, chi, chi, chi. And start looking for every money to buy that. After they've all gone, you'll be the one hungry later. His father did all that. His friend, that was an uncle of his, that was making money from contracts. He will fill his boot with money. They will say, uncle, house. He said, don't worry, money is here. Money is here. He died without a house. He didn't know where to bury him.
Pastor, don't worry. I'm not worried.
My future is in his hands. Thank you. We are living longer now. Have you noticed? I'm 62. I don't look like 62. I don't feel like 62. Me, Lord, you know what I mean? My dad, when he was 60-something, he was an old man. I'm not an old man. Don't call me an old man. I'm a grandpa. That's true, but I'm not an old man. If you see people that are old, they're 60. They're not old. I mean, see, 70, 80, they're still looking around. My uncle, I went for his birthday, he was 80. And I told myself, I hope he had enough to go through to 1995.
Hey, Pastor, government will be there for me.
Have you heard of pension? Government has become smarter now. They will say, take your money yourself. We put it for you. Go to back party talk or bank. Before, you just do government. Government, government says, you'll be mama. You'll be mama. So think about assets. Are you in school now? Are you working? Think of assets. Think of what we'll produce. I got a friend in Ibadan. My time is almost up. But I got a friend in Ibadan years ago. She said, she's a fashion designer, London trained. She came to Ibadan, opened a shop at Sango. How many of you know Sango? In Ibadan. So she started doing her shop over there. Then she said to herself, I'm around Sango market. So she bought a freezer. Asset. Not to cool water for herself. Asset. And she started selling the boys, the assistants, and they started selling water. And they started putting the money aside. Do you know what happened? At the end of the year, they opened the money, the boss. That money paid for the shop for the whole year. Annual rent. The water money paid. Not the fashion now. One of the greatest things the Western world has learned is to put something aside. Put something aside. Put something aside. Don't eat. Pastor, have you ever wondered why God gave us tithing? Not just because he wants to rake our money. He wants us to put something along with him there. He said, put something in my house if I will not open. And secondly, he wants us to also develop tithing mentality that we put a portion aside. Are you hearing me? Do you know what? I learned something when my children were in school. My first child went to school. One day, they sent her out of school to a church member's house. That was very embarrassing for a pastor, right? So they called me. Mama said, I want to be okay, one little square less. You know, that's so bad. So I told myself, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to open an account and just be. Before at the beginning, put something aside. Put something. I said, Robert, put something aside. Put something aside. And I didn't have check. I didn't have asset to begin education. And you know what? I did that. Manage. I paid the last one a couple of months ago. School don't finish. My wife said, masters. So I can't hear me. Take closer. Something happened recently. though the account was there, I put the money there. Then she called me, I said, Daddy, graduation. They said we should bring 180K. I said, 180K care for graduation. When I was going to school, no key. We just get gown from school and go to something. I will go. I will squeeze up. But thank God, I had 140 there. I rake 40 more. Bam, bo. Are you hearing me? Pastor, you have God. You just pray. Kunyo. I have to be honest with you. Can I be honest with you? Kunyo mba me. Pray. Oluwani toju are. But if you were there before, do something about it. You know what I'm saying? I'll be honest with you. You know, and sometimes he'll just give you. I got one of the greatest men of faith, Kenneth Hagin. Years ago, somebody told us, he said, you know, he said what? He said, I'm doing, but I have insurance. He said, why? What about if I miss God? What will I do? I mean, and insurance is a form of savings. When the Philistines are collecting money, I'll do that with God. Did we get that? All right, so that's asset. Everything you do, think asset. Then look at this one. Letter L, which our countries are avoiding today. Labor. For every labor, there is profit under the sun. Don't ever think you come to wealth. People who are really, do you know, I was reading, I told them in the, was it business meeting now? I told them about Warren Buffett or something. There was this guy who was one of the top most rich guy in the world today, richest guy, that was into fashion and cool. What's his name? Bernard something. You guys will know now. Bernard what? Atom, something like that. Atom. I'm not, thank you. You buy her clothes, you buy his clothes, you get his fashion. The guy's into fashion. He's about 70. You're 75 now? 75. And I was just reading about him. And you know what I saw? He still, every Saturday, he will get up and go to his stores all over the world. He has private jets. He fly in, still manage the shop. Put this over here, put that over there. And then he wrote in his new policy for the company that the CEO will retire at 80 to stop working. He's 75. Then Bob Warren Buffett, who was 93 now, thereabouts, one of these guys, called him, said, you are making a mistake. Don't retire at, don't write 80, write 90. See, many of us, our picture of wealth is to get up in the morning. Sit down like this. Bele ranse. Beful mejilo. Unbalance. You're going to die of diabetes. You don't do anything. That's not. See, God is at work. He's still working for our salvation. He's been here for years and he's still here for a long time. Jesus said, I must walk. I wake up quite early. Don't worry about my chair. Don't worry. Thank you. I still have some labor energy to carry it myself. You know, so learning to do that labor. This is the key over here. Chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 11. Give us an NIV. Labor. Hallelujah. Quickly. Labor. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. So I chose years ago that if I'm going to survive in life, everybody want to know today, be phone, when you come so. You could quiet life, to mind your own business, and to do what? To walk with your own hands, as we told you. Look at next verse. For then, your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. Proper evangelism is not putting placard on your chest and saying our church is doing convention. Proper evangelism is that people see God at work in your life. And they see you managing your life and running on well. They want to be like you. My wife and I were talking recently. They said, prosperity message has not helped Nigeria. I said, of course, I won't help them because it's just kalu kind of a thing. And people are not taught how to be productive. Let me step on toes now. Can I step on toes? I hope you won't stone me after I finish. I'm stepping on stone and I won't get stoned. You know, it's a minimum wage. What about minimum productivity? What about delivery? What about? Are you hearing me? So let's begin to apply ourselves. Labor is a form of wealth. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor beside you, let us labor. Let us walk. We must walk. Hallelujah. Go back. Let's Can we round up? But Artemis. Let's look at letter T now. Form of wealth. I saw this in the life of Abraham. Give us picture again. Let's go to Genesis 24, verse 34. Genesis 24, verse 34. Genesis 24, letter T now. See something here. Letter T. Let's look at Genesis 24. So he said, I'm Abraham's servant. Look at next verse. So the Lord has blessed my master abundantly, and he has become wealthy. He has given him sheep and cattle. He had to get up every day to attend to sheep. Second, he has given him what? Silver and gold, what we call cash. The next one, men servant and maid servant, labor to multiply his productivity. You know, Pratito, sorry for exposing you again now. Pratito was telling me, he said, look here, this business is almost, I'm getting tired of it. But one day he sat down and he said, this business has people that are working with it, and they are getting paid from there. And they are getting their daily bread from there. Then he said, camels and donkeys. Today we will say cars and trucks. Transportation is a form of wealth. You know, our economy is scattering just on oil. Am I right? Up and down, up and down. What is it? It's a form of transportation. So transportation is also a form of wealth. Are you hearing me? Are you listening? Transportation is a form of wealth. That if you have a car, it's a form of wealth. Except that you drive it around chasing girls. That's not a wealth. That's destruction. Like one lady went to her pastor. Her husband lost his car. So the woman came and said, Pastor, don't ever pray that my husband will have another car. He said, why? He said, because when he had a car, he never stayed at home chasing girls. Now that he didn't have a car, he's at home playing with the children. Transportation, like camels and donkeys, will take us further than where we are. Don't just see vehicles as vehicles. You know, that's something about us in Nigeria. We just think that things are just to be, you know, I'm using this. You see, I'm using this microphone. Oh, that church here, oh, Pastor Olowa Alex. No, it's not about that. You know why we have all this sound system? It's to transport word to your ears. Help you get that? Pastor, why are you whatever when it's doing crack, 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 crack? Because you won't hear well. So life is just, I know you like to have Bentley. Are you hearing me? Yeah, it's good to have good cars, but don't think just cars. Think of transportation. Where are you going? For instance, you are going abroad now. You go by air transportation, am I right? It accelerates wealth. And of course, letter H, housing. Houses, real estate. Our time is up. But housing lasts. I was wondering why they call that real estate, real estate. They say it's a Spanish word. But for me, actually, real estate is real estate. You know what I say? Everything is paper. She has paper name. Am I right? But tobacco, wow. Can I tell you something? You know why we build this building? I'll tell you why. So you can come in here and sit down. But one more thing. To get a hall in town now, this kind of hall, you pay about $1 million. Now just imagine every Sunday we are paying $1 million. That would be $52 million in a year. Forget the one in between. So this is a form of wealth that we don't notice. I will encourage you to think about housing. Can I close like this? Prof, during our time, of May Day workers, you read a place in the Bible that really blessed me. Message 20, Jeremiah 29, a Message Bible. Let's just read it. And then we. 5, verse 6. Let's read it. And then I'll shut up. Build houses! And make yourselves at home. You know, in the early church, they were selling lands and houses. I mean, if they never had land and houses, what would they sell? In some part of the country, you can't get a hall for church services. Why? Muslims own everything. Christians don't have anything. Okay, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Okay, while you are passing through, have a comfortable place. Are you hearing me? This budging population, who will produce a housing for them? Government alone? No. Let's keep reading. Put in gardens and eat what grows in that country. Next verse. We say, marry and have children. And call your children to marry and have children so that you thrive in that country and not waste away. Next verse. Make yourself at home there and work for the country's welfare. Pray for Babylon's well-being. If things go well for Babylon, things will go well for you. Did you hear that? So let's build houses. Let's plant gardens. You know how much pepper now is? Huh? If you have 1 acre of pepper, you'll be doing some good things. Are you hearing me? So let's start looking like that. That hallelujah. He gives us wealth for a reason. If I pray for 5 pairs of shoes, I think I'm okay. If I pray for 20, something's wrong with me. If I ask for 100, I think I'm sick. But I don't want 100 pairs of shoes. I want 10,000 pairs of shoes. At least keep 5 for myself. There are shoeless children everywhere. Look at our world today. Who will be there for them? God actually wants us to be the light of the world. God wants us to touch people. So don't only think about wealth just for yourself. Let's do much more than that. Am I right? Are we blessed today? As remember this, welfare, education, asset, labor, transportation, housing. I want Yahoo Yahoo boys. What counts will they buy? What can they pay? Ko wow, wo ko reke. And carry them kuka. But you will never last like that. You will never last. Can we just pray wherever you are? I don't know what this speaks to you at what level where you are. Can we just ask the Lord to help you? He said, I will give you power to produce wealth. Is there any challenge you hear in that? Is there anything you see about that? Can you give us back that thing on the screen? That wealth thing? Can you see any part of it in your life? Can you say, oh, this is what I think I need next in the realm of wealth? Oh, I'm living comfortably in this house, but do I have my own house? Do I? Am I providing for my family the very first basic level of wealth? Am I just going around making noise like a big boy, big girl? I don't have any assets. Thank you, Father. I come before you. Thank you today. Thank you for helping me. You see, the Lord will increase you more and more, you and your children. Can you ask for increase in any of these dimensions? The Lord will give you power to produce this. So we have this empowerment to produce welfare, to get education, to accumulate assets, to labor, giving us strength, and to get transportation like Abraham, camels and donkeys, and housing. That is, you can build houses, plant gardens, live well, raise our children for God. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. We give you honor. We exhort you. Thank you for each one of us that you have a covenant with us to take our life to the next level. We appreciate you today. We magnify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Ask your neighbor. Did you learn something today? Yeah. Any announcement? Let's give our offering. Hallelujah. You know, choir is on holiday. You know, they have holiday throughout this month of July, so they can relax, restore, strengthen. We have one more Sunday to go, right? Falabi, we are tired. You should know, you should be refining. I hope you are coming back in August with some serious song that smoke will be in this building. Not from fire, but from Holy Ghost. All right. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Praise God.